Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So I think it's really important to note that there are lots of excuses that they use, but for many of them, I call them legislative arsonists. They're there to burn down what we should be building up in terms of investments in education and, scientific research and all that it is that make our country great and competitive. I don't paint them all with the same brush, and I certainly don't paint the speaker with that brush.
No.
But enough of them in their caucus to shut down government.
Here, Blue Monday. Sing it, Fats. Sing it for America. Sing it for America, Fats. It is the Savage Nation. News, views, and reviews. Today you're going to get it all. You're going to get it all. You're going to get a smorgasbord. It'll be like me eating at the Indian buffet, going back for an extra dose of chicken. Where shall I begin? Shall we begin with the strangest woman on earth, Nancy Pelosi? How she got this far, how she stays there. It is like listening to Bugs Bunny in a skirt. I never heard anything like this. So, in other words, because she's not a man, Hillary Clinton is desirable? What is this about women in politics where they still think that racket works? You know, there were great women leaders, Golda Meir, Margaret Thatcher, I can name others. What, just because you're a woman, that makes you better than a man? And especially Hillary. You know, today's show is really dedicated to Hillary because I still use AOL Mail. I'm sorry to apologize. I still use what I started with 5,000 years ago in the Industrial Revolution when the Internet was invented by Al Gore. I signed it for AOL. I go on it in the morning and says, would you like to see Hillary as president? Click here. Already? They're doing this already? I'm dropping AOL. One more ad for that face. So I said, I can't take it anymore. So today's show is called Everything You Knew About Hillary But Were Afraid to Remember. Because how? Well, they reinvented her? She has no history? Nobody knows who she is and what we went through with the Clintons? How could the Democrats do this to us? So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to do a review of a movie I saw last night called Prisoners with an actor called Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. I don't go to the movies, but I went last night with two friends, two lady friends, and it was empty. It was a 70-millimeter theater. I said, I don't go to the movies. I watch TV in bed, okay? At this age, what I like doing is the clicker, the dog, the bullets, the guns, the shotgun, everything's loaded. I don't have to put up with cough, perfume, no coming attractions, no popcorn, no $4 drinks. Water! $4 for a bottle of water. I'm not a poor man, but I wouldn't spend it. So they said, you got to see Prisoners. So I looked up the review. You know, it's about an abduction of two little girls. And I'm a father, and I remember when my daughter was a little girl, and it's all I worried about were the psychos and the sickos in San Francisco, and my son. I never told you some of the stories along the way. If you're not watching your children like a hawk, you're not watching your children the way you should be. Let me tell you that. I don't want to go through the whole history of it. So I figured, all right, I know it's not going to be a horror movie. I'll go watch it. I didn't know Hugh Jackman from Jack and Jill. But he's like a repeat of a young Robert De Niro, you know? He channels Robert De Niro as a youngster in, let's say, what's that movie where he's a boxer? Taxi Driver. You know, a lot of anger and bashing walls in with hammers. And the script is very tight, very well done as a fiction writer, I got to tell you. I wouldn't recommend it. Let's start with that. 2.5 hours, you come out feeling like you were a prisoner. And don't take your children to see it, ever. Don't go see it. Now, if you're into movies that make you nervous and movies that take what you've tried to suppress in yourself, like the worst elements of your being, then go see it for sure. You'll become uncoupled from it. That's all I can say to you. How come they can make a movie about people who abduct children the way they do with such intensity and show you the evil on the planet and not make one movie about the Islamofascists plaguing the world? Not one movie from, what's his name? I don't even know. Mackiewicz? Steinberg, Weinberg, Harberg, Harvey Weinberg, Steinberg, Meinberg, Migraine and Heinberg, Migraineberg and Steinberg, Myberg. They make movies, not one movie about the Islamo-fascists, not one. And you know what went on in Kenya. Oh, you don't know what went on in Kenya. You know that there was a group of Islamo-fascists took over the mall, killed 63 or more people, wounded 150, God knows, and it was run by a white convert woman from England. Oh, yeah! A British woman, 29, may have been behind the mall massacre. Grew up in an English city, married a Muslim, and the rest is history. And, of course, as you well know, women are kind and gentle. They're not capable of this. But the people fighting the Islamist fascists, the Islamo-fascists, said a woman was directing the murders. And, hold on now, don't get too nervous. They singled out non-Muslims. If you were a Muslim, you were allowed to leave. Along the lines of Hitler and the Gestapo, the Nazis. So using religion to push Nazism is very clever, and they can't get away with it amongst people who are educated and intelligent. But since most of America is the obverse of that, they have no idea what's going on around them. Yeah, why the White Widow is the prime suspect. It was unbelievable. Could you imagine that the Nazis did? Remember when the Biedermannhof gang in Germany in the late 70s took over various and sundry enterprises? They singled out the Jews to keep them as hostage and release the non-Jews. This is similar. The Islamo-Nazis released the Muslims and killed the others, including a woman 7 months pregnant. How's that for the religion of pieces? Not one word from Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg. Not one movie. Not one movie from Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg. Float around on your yachts. Go ahead. Go ahead. Float around on your yacht. Go ahead. You get your 300-foot yacht. Go float around in the Mediterranean. You're polluting the world with your filth. The sewer pipe of Hollywood has polluted the planet. You have all the power in the world to warn the world what's coming, and you don't do it. And the blood of innocence is on your hands. The blood of innocence is on the hands of Hollywood. I blame Hollywood. I don't blame our spineless politicians, because I expect that from our politicians. I'll give you an example why I'm so incensed about Hollywood not picking up the torch to warn the world about the Islamo-fascist movement, which has grown, by the way, not diminished. Not one word about it from Hillary Clinton, but she's qualified, of course. Not one word about it from the Bugs Bunny of the Democrat Party. Ba-bop, ba-boop, ba-beep, ba-bop, 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 ba-bop. Nee-nee, do you want to bomb Syria? Ba-beep, ba-bop, ba-boop, ba-bop, ba-boop, ba-bop. Big Bugs Bunny. Ba-beep, nee-nee, should we bomb Syria? Ba-bop, ba-boop. Not one word from Ninny. Not one word from the Ninny in San Francisco about the Islamo-fascist movement. It's about the evil Republicans. Ninny, should we bomb Syria? I say no bomb Syria. I normally no bomb Syria. But there were children there, so we say bomb Syria. No, Ninny, no bomb Syria. I say bomb Syria. Okay, child abuse. Bingo. So the next case is this. So you got Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg. I'm watching a movie over the weekend on television. 1952, black and white, film noir, they call it. There was no color then. Film noir. Everything they give a name. A black and white movie, in other words. Film with a good camera. With a person who knew how to light a set. And what's it about? It's about the FBI tracking down German agents in the New York City in America in the 40s. I said, wow, that's an amazing movie. So I said, why did I grow up feeling safe? Knowing the FBI was tracking down the bad guys, communists, Nazis. Now that the Islamo-fascists are all over the country, all the way up into Naval Intelligence, CIA, FBI, as sure as I'm standing here, who are they tracking down? Republicans, conservatives, patriots, returning war veterans, people who don't believe in abortion, those who worship Jesus. That's who they're listening in on. That's the NSA spies. They're not listening in on the Islamo-fascists plotting a bomb, are they? Well, if they are, how did they miss the Boston Massacre? How did they miss the Navy Yard? Because they weren't listening to them. They weren't listening in on the Nazis, the Islamo-fascists, or else they would have caught the brother's son off, and they would have stopped the Navy Yard Massacre. No, but they were busy listening in on you. So these are some of the ideas that are circulating in my cranium at this particular moment on the Savage Nation. It's a Blue Monday. Let's have some of the wonderful... wonderful music from the Belle Epoque, the best of Offenbach, Can-Can circa 1858, in the golden age of France. Pre-Viagra, pre-Levitra, pre-Cialis, How come the men didn't need Cialis in France in the 1850s? How is it possible? Listen, listen! That doesn't move you, then you're dead. Hipsters. Hipsters eating burritos in the Mission. That's America today. Feminist men eating burritos in the Mission District. All right, turn it off. That's all. I got your attention. Offenbach. When I'm like, I need music in the morning. I once had a Japanese friend who invited me to the Japan Creativity Society back in 1986, 87. I went over there, won some award, whatever. And he started every day, Yukio, lovely man, weighed about 99 pounds. He looked like he was on the Bataan Death March in reverse. He ate nothing. He was a great guy, a scientist, brilliant man, ate nothing, couldn't take him to dinner. He ate nothing. And this guy told me he started every morning listening to German marching music, not for the, you know, implied relationship to, you know, anything political. He liked the spirit of it. You understand that? It's why many of you listen to the Savage Nation. Because I'm not sitting here like a Trotskyite professor in Queens in 1957 lecturing you on the Constitution or on parliamentary procedure or Robert's Rules of Order, looking like I'm wearing a Robert Hall suit with a tuna fish stain in it. You could see the tuna stain on the brown suits or the wall banger. But I'm not going to. What's the point? You know, you don't get it. Some of you do. Very, very small in crowd. Da, 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 da. Teddy is not here right now. Teddy is not here. He's with the groomer. He goes Monday and Friday to the groomer. And I do the show without his master's voice loyally watching me as I perform in my studios. My studios. Nothing like a cold shower before radio. Let me give you one of my secrets. You start with a hot shower and you warm it up. You go colder until you can't stand the cold on your head. And then you won't sound like Hannity. By the time that shower is over, you'll actually sound like a broadcaster. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I came up with the idea at least 20 years ago that we needed more women in politics that would take a different turn. And I suggested that men be barred from political office. They could do everything else, be president of universities, business leaders. But they just couldn't serve in any elected position for 100 years.
Oh, shut up.
We'd have a lot more.
Yeah, turn it off. You hear the morons? Ted Turner at the climate conference. You got a million new acres of sea ice in the Arctic, and this putz is still running a global warming institute. And there they are, the acolytes. No men in politics for 100 years. That would be great. That would be terrific. That's just what the world needs, is women. Because you're a woman, you're automatically better. How about the white widow who just conducted the Islamo-Nazi massacre in Kenya, you schmuck? You can't talk to these people. They're brainwashed drug addicts, in my opinion. That's all. Let's take some callers. I got such good sound for you on the program today. The sound, you see, I'm a big sound guy in radio. I mean, others use sound, but a lot of people don't because they don't like to interrupt their own voice. They're so egomaniacal, they don't think they need sound. They think they're so brilliant that they don't want to even take a caller or run sound because they want to dominate the airwaves with their own voice. All right. I don't see it that way. I have dulcet tones when I need them, but I find radio is about sound, and if I find great sound, then I have the best sound people in the business, and they work hard. From early in the morning, we get the best sound. And today, as I say, dedicated to Hillary Clinton. Everything you knew about Hillary but were afraid to remember. We're going to read a letter from a listener, Putin admirers in America. We're going to talk about men who secretly admire Putin, even women. We're reviewing the movie Prisoners. Here's the question of the day. I didn't give it to you yet. You ready for it? What do you fear most about a Hillary presidency? Let's make it basic. We'll do Radio 101, meat and potatoes. We're doing basically a rib roast and potatoes today. What do you fear most about a Hillary Clinton presidency? I didn't tell you what to fear, nor did I tell you you should fear. But what do you fear the most about Hillary Clinton? It couldn't be Cattlegate. I don't think you're afraid of her selling cattle futures. I don't think that's it. Now I'll take some calls on all the other topics. 855-407-2822. KSFO, San Francisco. Jack, you're on the air. What's on your mind, Jack?
Thanks, Michael. Real quick, first regarding your first question regarding Hillary Clinton, the thing I fear most about her would be her aims and her goals, her designs, which have been in effect for many years, towards moving us towards what I would call global governance. And if you look who she's surrounded herself with, and her husband's philanthropic foundations have surrounded themselves with, people such as Strobe Talbott, who heads up the Brookings Institute.
Yes, yes, a very dangerous man.
Yeah, he was Bill Clinton's roommate at Rhodes, as a Rhodes student.
Yes, you know the whole history of these people. They're lifetime, and dedicated, and never stopped. Never. Haven't we had enough of the Clintons? Wasn't 8 years enough?
No. Not for the globalists that are running the world. That is why.
Now, you notice that the most dangerous man on earth to millions of people is George Soros. And I can list in a litany everything he's done that makes him the most dangerous man on the planet. He was married this weekend at his private estate. Do you know which American politician was most prominently present?
Let's see. Well, it's got to be someone along the lines of...
Yes, the Bugs Bunny of San Francisco. Can we go to... Nancy Pelosi went to Soros' wedding.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, now what does that tell you about... Wait, the president of Albania was there, George Soros' wedding, and Nancy Pelosi.
Well, you just have to listen to Soros' words. Everything from Kissinger to Zbigniew Brzezinski carrying on the torch with Soros regarding...
Oh, Zbigniew Brzezinski. My favorite. The architect of the Arab Spring. What shall I say? Soros is the funder. Zbigniew Brzezinski is the architect, in my estimation. Obama is the spokesman for the Arab Spring, and Hillary Clinton is the enabler. What's your question or comment? We're out of time already. I can't develop an idea. It's impossible. Trotsky could never get ahead today. Impossible in this media.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Imagine if she's president. I have to like emigrate to Iceland or live in like an ice house. There's nowhere to go. There's no one left. This is it. This is the last stand. This is the Alamo. America is now the Alamo. The left has crushed the opposition. There is no opposition. There's no Republican Party. There's a Republican Party. Yeah, in theory, a Republican Party. There's no strong opposition. The media is gone. It's collapsed. There's no center. It's a far-left revolution that's taken over the West. And into the vacuum steps Islamofascism. They see the weakness. So what is it you fear most about a Hillary Clinton presidency is really a basically decent question. See, the problem is Republicans have no one running against her. Nobody. Z-E-R-O. All right, I'll take your calls. That's all. Dwight on WABC in New York City. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Dwight?
Wow, it's a pleasure, Dr. Savage. You know, my name, you know, I'm Dwight. I'm in Staten Island, New York. And I would never, never vote for Hillary Clinton.
All right, but I hear that you're a Democrat, but you wouldn't vote for her. Tell me why.
Well, for one thing, America has no time for the Clinton orgy part two. We don't have time for that. You know, this is a serious situation, die hard. And we must remember that the Clintons are gangsters anyway. You know, they killed their own lawyer, you know, back in the day in Arkansas, guys.
That's right. We don't know that they did that. I mean, those are, you know, come on, let's be clear. Those are rumors and smear tactics. We can't say that they're bad people in that regard. But the thing is, Dwight, you're a lifetime Democrat, are you?
Yeah, well, that's how I was raised. But, you know, I don't, I'm an American for real. And
Be careful, Dwight. The NSA is listening in on the show. And Americans are now suspect, as you well know. Islamofascists are welcome. And illegal aliens from Mexico are welcomed by the plane load, boat load, car load, train load. But, you know, an American, ooh, watch out, Dwight. That's a dirty word today.
Yeah, well, I'm a black American, so, you know.
Whoa, you're really out of favor.
I know.
Oh, you're really out of favor. I imagine you must have wonderful dinners with your family, being a guy like you are, like not diehard leftist.
Well, I'm totally away from my family, you know. I'm in New York. I'm in Staten Island. I'm from the Midwest.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, no, I understand. You mean you ran away from your family?
Yeah.
So you ran away from your black Democrat liberal family in the Midwest to New York, and I ran away from my family in New York 40 years ago. But, ran away. I mean, the thing is, they've never changed. They don't even know what's going on around them. You know, my grandfather landed in America as an immigrant from Russia, and he was a Democrat because that made sense in 1917 or whenever, right? And they never changed. The children never went beyond the immigrant parents or grandparents' mentality. They're like robots. They don't even know what's going on around them.
Can I say one thing, Dr. Seth?
You could say two things. Cost the same price.
Hey, check this out. It's not even a fact about I'm, running away from my family. It's about I love America, and there's so many things I want to see about America.
So do I. God bless America. I love the country. It's been, for me, a land of wonderful opportunity. I've had hard times, good times, bad times, my times, your times, but I've been given the opportunity to do as much as I could. No one said you can't. Until affirmative action came along, until the left took over all the institutions, until this institutional social engineering took over, this was the freest country on earth. I got to tell you this, Dwight, and this is very important. A friend of mine, and I thank you very much for send Dwight a copy of A Time for War, will you? He'll enjoy that novel. I have an acquaintance who is an expert in optics, and he sent me an article over the weekend of a gentleman in India who has developed a camera that can shoot at 3 million frames a second, or something phenomenal like that. I could not believe what I was watching. So the Indian man is giving a lecture. It's on YouTube. We have it somewhere. I think that's on my website. And he slowed light down sufficient that you can see photons entering an object as they move through a soda bottle. It's unheard of in terms of time frame lapse photography, time-lapse photography. You've never seen anything like this. So this Indian man is lecturing about this, and I sent it to an individual I know who's a very successful young man, and he says, oh, my God, he said, it is so beautiful to see that there are still optimistic, intelligent, creative people left in the world. I thought that was one of the saddest emails I've ever gotten. Because he feels, this young man who's been successful in America through very hard work, that this is dead in America. All the creativity, all of the opportunity that was once here is gone. It's been strangled by a mad left-wing mentality and a bureaucracy. I said, yes, it still exists, mainly in emerging third-world countries like India, even in China, in countries that have a mixed capitalist society. The people are freer than they are here. The people are free to think, invent, create, patent, try, invest, not here. Not with the horrible Trotskyites and Leninists running our government. Everywhere you turn, there's another Leninist telling you can't do it. Think this, do this, pay that fee, you know. Anyway, that's all. Unbelievable. So what do you fear most about a Hillary Clinton presidency is the question. Let's play clip one right now on the Savage Nation. That's the one I want to hear. Clip one.
I don't feel no ways tired.
Stop. That's clip two, which you've run twice now. One more time, and there's going to be a war in my head. Clip one is what I asked for.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
See, she speaks for me. Yeah, I mean, think about it. I mean, that's a heck of a speech. You don't hear her saying that now. Her and Bugs Bunny are suddenly on the other side. Her and Bugs Bunny are saying, you can't disagree with the king. You can't disagree with Lenin in the White House. But then when Bush was in power, oh yeah. It was patriotic to disagree. Not anymore. I don't know. Could Hillary really win? Yeah, well, she could win with the schmuck Republicans. Of course she could win. Of course she could win. Why couldn't she win? Who are they going to run against her? I have a terrible fear. That's if we even have an election. I'm not so sure of that. If we even have an election, All right, let's get through the midterms first. I don't want to do this. I'll start to sound like the other Schmendricks in conservative talk already. Day and night, damn Republican, Republican, damn, damn. I tried to do news views and reviews. You didn't bite. Nobody gave a call on the movie because no one saw it. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Wait. So I don't go to the movies. I watch at home in the bed with the clicker. The only thing I see are my feet and my clicker and the TV screen. It's the clicker, the hand, the clicker, and the feet and the TV screen. That's my idea of a perfect screen. It's like Rear Window, but I'm on my back. That's my idea of watching a movie. I enjoy it. That's all. That's how I rest my mind watching the worst garbage Hollywood's ever produced. But I mix it in with war and this, and I like a lot. I love military history the most. My second favorite show is Channel 271 on Comcast, which is Gangsters. No, Nat Geo's big on Gangsters. But how many times can I see Anastasia getting shot in a barber chair? How many times can I see the guy from Philadelphia throwing him in the pit like in Wise Guys? It's enough already. 83,000 on the boat in Florida. But I enjoy it. I like the outfits, the suits, the wide, white shirts over the jacket. I don't just like something about it. It's like a texture about America. I most like the 1950s black and white when they do Gangsters and they show like Anastasia, like see men walking in the streets of Manhattan. They wear a hat. Everyone has a suit on. There was a thing called a haberdasher before. Have you seen like how men dress today? Could you believe this? Can you believe a man walks down the street, how he's dressed, what they wear, a human being in a city today compared to like the 50s, suit, tie, hat. And you would know by your hat, by the chapeau you wore. Like if you're a longshoreman, you wore a certain kind of longshoreman's cap. Men all had a certain hat made, a certain hat, like Dobbs Hat Company. My father had a hat. He was a small merchant, but he had a hat, like hat boxes in his closet. Unbelievable. Now you see a guy with like dirty shorts walking down the street with flip-flops. That's a man today. I don't know how this happened. But anyway, there we are. Like I woke up, it was like Rip Van Savage wakes up. And the world is crazy. It's not like I wear a suit myself, but I don't understand it. How can a society survive with hats? Start with the costuming. No costuming. That's the costume, no costuming. So I like to see, like, New York in the 50s, like the DeSoto taxis with the bad Kodachrome color, where all the color is distorted. And you see the Astor Place, and Anastasia about to go into the barber chair in 1957 in the St. Regency Hotel, the Regis Hotel, and get knocked off in the chair. He didn't know what was coming. They put a towel on his head. What gangster sits in a barber chair with a towel over his eyes? He had no bodyguards. He couldn't afford them. What, was he cheap? I don't understand that. What gangster goes to a barber altogether today? The barber comes to their house today. No one goes anywhere. In fact, if you look at what's happening societally, it's becoming like, not ancient, so I'm not that. We're going back a couple of years where the rich have the hairdresser barber in the house. They usually have a hairdressing salon in their house today, so they don't have to go out to begin with. Who wants to be in a hairdressing? I can't stand haircuts. I'd rather look like Charles Manson than get a haircut. I hate it. Manicure, I'd like one, but I wouldn't subject myself to one of those women like at night they're hookers and daytime with the nails into my finger and giving me a disease of the foot. Put your foot in like a foot bath, and before it was a person with mad cow disease, put their foot in like a hoof. Like a hoof went into the nail thing. Who would put your foot in that? Filthy, for dirty water. Like the next door Japanese restaurant sink runs into the foot bath. I don't go in those places. I don't like the women sticking the filer into my nails. I feel like I'm in San Quentin. You know, like being like grilled. It's like file. It's like the Kelly file. I don't see a file under my nails like the Kelly file. I told you last thing. Kelly, Megan Kelly, giving him the Hannity's job on TV. Poor guy. Poor guy, one of the people, Joe Sixpack with a Gulfstream. I grew up real poor. Well, we had a $300 car. Well, you don't have one now, do you? You never had so much money in your life. But yeah, but you're Joe Sixpack, like I'm Jacob Astor. Don't you love how everyone wants to be poor? I don't want to be poor. I never wanted to be poor. Even when I was poor, I hated it. What is this glorification of the poor? I hate it. Disgusting, horrible architecture, bad dental work, rotten teeth, bad shoes. Terrible dentition, worse hygiene. Oh, when I was poor, I got a $200 car. Yeah, you're not driving one now. It's in the Gulfstream. Nice that you have a Gulfstream. It's good. But don't glorify being poor. You're a rich man. Don't tell them you're poor with a nail gun. I'm going to put a boot in. Hey, I got a floor mat for you, an insurance policy, and a new toupee. It's the conservative toupee. If you rip it off your head at night, there's the U.S. Constitution, and it talks to you. You know, that's a good product. That'd be a good product for the Rush cartel. It would be a, because all of the hair things, and most of the audience is like, no hair. So like a toupee, and you take it off, and not only does it have a constitution on the inside, but it actually talks like those fish around 10 years ago, where the mouth of the fish talked and sang like pussy in the Sopranos. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, and it sounds like I'm talking in tongues. Does anyone understand what I'm talking about right now? Does anyone get the shtick? This is very much like a nightclub act right now. When I get in my best moods, here's the problem. Let me explain it in a nutshell. If you want a wide audience, you have to sound like Wallbanger, and you have to stick to the meat and potatoes and have one guest after another that no one listens to, but they wish that they could listen to the whole show so they can hear nothing anyway. It's like the guests nobody else gets. Yeah, because no one else wants them. Of course they get the guests nobody else. The guests that no one else can get. Yeah, like every day the same guest. It's Newt Gingrich on the Sean. Every day the same thing. Well, how are you, Sean? Well, you're a great American. No, 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 you're a great American. Soul American. The guests nobody wants. They all land on that spaceship, my friend. So if you want a wide audience, what you do is you do the basic meat and potato Republican thing, right? Bash Democrats day and night. But if you want to be creative and really enjoy yourself on radio, as I do, when I can get into the mood like I am tonight, it's a nightclub act in Las Vegas. Smaller audience, more dedicated, they know what you're doing and they love it. They come back to radio because they want to be entertained. Sure, they want to know where you're coming from in order to let you entertain them. See, I wouldn't let a left-winger entertain me ever. Even if they're funny, I would walk out. But I don't like them for that reason. I don't want them to charm me into submission. I won't let them do it. So once you know where my politics are, which you know already after 20 years in the books and this and that, you let me entertain you. So let me entertain you on the Savage Nation, and you have to entertain me by dialing 8554. How come no one's calling about the movie? I didn't even get to it. So let me tell you what happened. I don't go to the movies. I like the clicker in the bed. So I said, you're going to the movies. The girls are going to the movies. Two ladies. We're going to the movies. I don't know. I don't like movies. I don't like perfume. I don't like. No. It's a 70-millimeter theater. No one's going to go to it because it's not like a popular movie about pirates or some idiotic movie that people go to. And a Sunday night, no one goes to the movies. So I said, well, what about Teddy? I can't leave him. He gets heartbroken if I leave him. He's 10 years old. I almost never leave him, ever. And when you ditch a dog, especially a poodle, they get sick physically. All right, I went. I left him with the two other dogs, and he was well cared for. He was not ditched alone in the house. That would have given him a stroke. He would have died. He was put with the other two dogs, other house. TV was on, Mexican television was on, he was fed. He likes Mexican cartoons, I don't know why, but he likes them for whatever reason. Mexican cartoons are on at that hour, and we went to the movies. So they said, okay, we know that you're an edgy guy, so here's the thing. The movie starts at 7, you stay outside with the ticket, don't come until 7:20, because the coming attractions will drive you insane. You won't be able to take it between people telling you to buy Good and Plenty and Candy Cotton, and don't come in the movie theater. So I sat outside, like walking in the cold with the fog on my head, and it was like 12 people in a 2,000 seat. I loved it. That's like getting on an airplane. It's like hitting the jackpot, right? You get on a flight like Southwest from San Francisco to L.A., and there's like 9 people on it. You have a row to yourself. They give you extra peanuts. You get an extra pack of peanuts. That was the same thing. It's like, oh, wow, I can take this row. Then I move. I get another perspective. Start in this row to move to that row. So I watched the movie, but I never knew who this guy was, this actor. I never heard of Gyllenhaal. He's like a whole new breed of actor. They're good. I mean, they're talented. Hugh Jackman, for example. He was channeling a Robert De Niro in... Oh, I'm out of time. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
That terrible bumper. What is that? Sounds like apoplexy listening to that. Yeah, I don't like that one. Let's get it out of the Hulk thing. So break that record. I'd rather have some Indian music, like Bollywood music would be better than that. So look, it's news, views, and reviews. The main topic today is everything you knew about Hillary but were afraid to remember, because they're pushing her for the presidency, and many people are afraid of her, in plain English. They fear the woman. And I want to know why. Why do you fear her? She's a nice lady. I mean, look at her tenure as Secretary of State. Look at the good she did for America. Look at the Arab Spring and the wonders it has brought the world. Peace, quiet, calmness. How could you not want her for president? How could it be bad? And she's a woman. I mean, that automatically makes her better than than a man. So, yeah, any man. I mean, if George Washington ran against Hillary Clinton, he would be called a demon today. Remember what she said about Al Jazeera TV, how prescient she was? She welcomed it in clip three. Let's hear clip three, Hillary, about Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera is going up in the United States because it's real news. You may not agree with it, but you feel like you're getting real news around the clock instead of a million commercials and, you know, arguments between talking heads.
Oh, see, you're getting real news with Al Jazeera. Isn't that great? See, there's a woman who knows. She knew Al Jazeera because her and Al Gore are like, you know, cousins, kissing cousins. Because Al Gore is such a wonderful man, putting out the fraud of global warming, making billions of dollars, and then selling his loser Current TV for the distribution channel for our dear friends at Al Jazeera. Wonderful channel. Wonderful. People are really stupid. No one's watching that garbage. Al Jazeera. So I went to the movies, as I said. There was eight people, prisoners. It did well over the weekend. It was amazing. Mainly older people. Financed the whole $46 million budget from a group called Alcon Entertainment, Andrew Kosso's Alcon Entertainment, distributed by Warner Brothers. And it took in 21 mil. Which I guess is good. I don't know. Topped the North American box office in the cellar, but mainly older people. See, it's mainly an older audience. If you look at the cum on it, the movie Prisoners, female 52%, 72% of the audience was over age 25, 26% over the age of 50. That's interesting. I didn't look in the audience. There weren't enough people for a demo. But who would go see that about two families whose young daughters are kidnapped? How could you sit through that again? Do not take a child to that movie. Horror. How about a movie on Islamofascism from Harvey Weinstein? I'll buy him a bottle of Manischewitz gefilte fish if he does that.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282.
After a long day at work, there's nothing better than getting home, taking off your shoes, turning the lights down low, and settling into your favorite chair. It's time to let Hot Talk 560 KSFO melt your stress away.
Where the hell are you going to wake up out there, you idiots? How much can you take from the vermin in the political structure and the scum in the media?
Michael Savage on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Idiots!
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation, the last word in talk radio. Turn on the email, and there it is. Hillary Clinton for president. All of a sudden, she's the most important person on the planet all over again. Like, we never heard of her. All of us have instant Alzheimer's disease. She has no history. Just because she's a woman, did you hear what Nancy Pelosi, the Bugs Bunny of American politics, said about this? I mean, Nancy Pelosi, who unto herself is the Bugs Bunny of American politics, was glowing about Hillary Clinton simply because she's a woman. I couldn't believe this. Listen to clip 12.
If she does, she will win. And when she becomes president, she'll be one of the best equipped, best prepared people to enter the White House in a very long time. She has, by dint of her experience as a senator, as a secretary of state, as a first lady herself.
Crazy people, just crazy people. Never in my life have we seen a woman who has done more damage to a country. The two of them together? Okay, they wanted to bomb Syria? Why? 71% of the people opposed it. 75% of the military opposed it. Hillary was gung-ho war, so was Bubba. Bubba there. Nini. And why were they going to war? Because of the scandals, number one. The pipeline, number two. War would be the perfect cover story to mask the most horrible record in modern presidential history. A cover-up, in other words. And it almost happened. They were willing to bomb a nation, a sovereign nation, for no reason whatsoever, in order to smear the head, to get the headlines off the papers. Shall I name them for you? The massive IRS scandal ordered by Obama, aimed at Tea Partiers and GOP donors and Obama critics, all by Obama. How about the use of our spy agencies to attack, intimidate, and interfere with ordinary Americans? How's that? All of these were going to be wiped away by a war. That's all. We know that. They were going to use war. It's been used before. And they almost got away with it. They almost got away with it. Hillary Clinton, why was she not forced to resign in disgrace for the worst cover-up in modern presidential history, which was Benghazi? The Benghazi scandal could have changed the entire world's history because the election of 2012 hinged on it, and that Putz, whatever his name was, who ran for the presidency, Mr. Nice Guy from Utah, wouldn't even mention it. Again, he was told not to mention it, so he dummied up and said nothing. What is it? You know, I don't sit and glorify these guys just because they're nice guys with a good family. The guy could have won the election hands down with Obama and Hillary, but he wouldn't mention it. Just as McCain was told not to say Muslim in the 28 debates. Would Obama have been reelected if the average citizen knew that those heroes defending our embassy could have been saved? But Obama and Hillary and God knows which other horsewomen of the apocalypse refused to send a team to rescue them? Huh? I don't think so. So it's a terrible thing to witness this. And now they're bringing Hillary up as though she's suddenly never, no one knows who she is. Wonderful person. So we have a wonderful montage for you now on the Hillary Clinton thing. And you can call on why you fear her the most. Let's hear it.
When she becomes president, she'll be one of the best equipped to enter the White House in a very long time.
What difference at this point does it make?
She will win.
Vast right-wing conspiracy that has been conspiring.
She was ready to be president.
Worship of Al Jazeera is going up in the United States because it's real news.
With her great intellect.
I don't feel no ways tired.
She will win.
I am sick and tired of people.
The best prepared person. Best prepared person. She will win.
What difference does it make?
Wow. Whoa. You guys, I think you outdid yourself today. You sound guys, I would suggest you don't do any jogging in Mossy Park over the next weekend if you're visiting Washington. 855-407-282. Definitely avoid that park for any kind of exercise late at night. But what are you going to do? This is America today. This is America. Anybody can get away with anything if you have the media on your side. And enough money, you can get away with anything. If you tell a big enough lie, often enough, it becomes the truth. That's right. They learned well from Goebbels. Hey, yeah. He was the master. Goebbels. Yeah, old Goebbels. So here we are sitting together at this same moment in history. We cannot believe what we're watching. The most divisive, horrendous president in American history, the most incompetent, divisive, fraud, faker in history, sitting in the White House, and now they're ready to foist her on us again. And the Schmendricks on the other side say nothing. And she, well, anyway, let's not embroider anymore. I've said all I can say already. There's nothing more to say. Let me read you something that I got. Someone put an ad up for me for an executive producer I'm looking for. God, I don't want you to all apply, please. You absolutely need 5 years of experience in radio. I'm getting people who love me, and they're just sending resumes in. I can't hire you if you don't have 5 years in radio, okay? It's important. But this guy wrote me an email. I'm not going to read his name. You have to hear this letter. Yes, you have to. You don't have a choice. You cannot turn the radio off, or I will call the IRS on you. So the guy says, my name is blank. Thank you for taking time to review my resume. While I'm quite sure that my official resume pales in comparison with many that you'll receive for the position of executive radio producer, I assure you my passion and skills will more than make up the difference. Immediately, I can't hire them because I need someone with a skill set. So he goes on, and I normally can't read all of it. But listen to his story. It's worth your time, I promise you. I would like to give you just a little bit of background about who I am as a person, he writes. While anyone with the ability to read can learn just about anything, nothing can replace what goes into the making of who a person actually is at his or her core, he writes. My mother was very liberal and always supported Democrats. My father was a Polish Jew who emigrated to the U.S. in 1958 and who also always supported Democrats because, quote, they were for the working man. My dad had lots of issues because of the horrors he and his family were forced to deal with as they escaped Poland during the war. In 1973, when I was blank years old, my parents divorced. My mother soon remarried to a black man who became my stepfather. That was one of the best things she ever did for herself and for her children. To this day, he has been a huge and positive impact in my life. The experiences that have come from having a Jewish dad and a black stepfather have allowed me to have both such unique insights in life. Now listen to this. I have come full circle in my pursuit of the truth. Through much of my 20s and early 30s, I was very liberal. He writes, now it's not me. In fact, he says, I was probably more of an anarchist than anything. I had been fed all of the bad stories about America. Carefully removed were the stories about what made us good and unique. Not perfect, but certainly not the evil nation that had been portrayed. But it was to be my time as the producer of a liberal talk show that would do more than any other experience in my life to reveal the hypocrisy and lies of the left. I think I've lost page two of this email. I have so much to handle here. He says, as the producer, I was able to witness firsthand the phony liberals, the do-as-I-say-not-as-I-do mentality of the many personalities of the left. And he goes on. It was during this period, he writes, that I was shown the truth, and it is for that which I am most grateful. My life was turned around. I don't have page two, but you get the picture of the wonderful people out there who listen to my show and how passionate they are about this country and how they want to do anything to help. It's amazing to me. If I can find more of the letter, I will read it a little later on the Savage Nation. In fact, I can find it right now. The phone number is 855-400-7282. I think 85. Is that my number? I don't know my number anymore. Oh, here it is. I'll read the rest of it, okay? And he saw what the phonies, the liberals. I have indeed escaped the liberal plantation. And I got to say this, Michael. He said that old saying about a conservative is just a liberal that has been mugged made more sense to me than ever. I am now married to a black woman who was also a conservative in her politics. I find it interesting that most of the black folks I was around were always conservative. That's an interesting fact, by the way. It's one of the most hidden facts in America, in American politics, by the way. He didn't write that. I'll tell you that for a fact. And he goes on and he says, I feel that there's something in my genetics, the same way my grandfather was compelled to leave Poland. Now, here, this is the most important part of the letter. My grandfather could see what was coming, and he knew they had to leave. Many in his family said he was crazy, and they couldn't understand how he could just uproot his family. They called him many horrible things. Unfortunately for them, they didn't survive. They stayed behind. My grandfather was a shoemaker, and because of that skill, he was able to take care of his family in the DP camps of Siberia. Russian soldiers needed shoes, and they saw to it that he had what he needed. My dad told me he would watch as dogs would eat feces as soon as it hit the ground because food was so scarce. See, no one could believe this in America. My grandmother gave birth to a baby who died hours later. They had to leave that baby on the side of a railroad track. They came through unimaginable horrors to Israel and eventually landed here in America. I cannot imagine all of that was so. I could not imagine they went through all of that so that my daughter could now face a future where she would face the end of the very freedoms we have come to expect as Americans. Like my grandfather, I cannot sit still, he writes. The difference for us all in 2013 is there is nowhere to run. This country has always been the world's refuge from tyranny. We must stand here and turn the tide. I believe that you and the Michael Savage Show are now poised to be one of those few beacons of light for people seeking hope and at the most crucial period of modern human existence. People realize something is not right. They know they have been deceived and are now seeking the truth. You are already a captivating voice who carries a compelling message. I believe that your show should be the very best in every level. And then he goes on, and I can't read his name. It's a very heartfelt, very important email, and I certainly can't hire people just because they're conservative and wonderful people. But I wanted you to hear the letter. Why? Because I hear this from people over and over again. They fear they're about to lose their freedoms. They fear we're about to become like the ex-Soviet Union was. They fear that the most despotic individuals in the world have now hijacked our nation. I've written about it. I've written about it. I've talked about it. I've pleaded with you. I've tried it with novels, nonfiction, fiction, and a daily radio show. And where are we getting? Have we reached the point that they can take Hillary Clinton out and take ads on AOL and tell you that she should be president because she's a woman? I'm afraid that's exactly where we're at. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Never waste a good crisis. And when it comes to the economic crisis, don't waste it when it can have a very positive impact on climate change and energy security, and that's what we're trying to do.
We want to reset our relationship.
Let's do it together.
So we will do it together.
Well, she did reset her relationship with Russia. You got to hand it to her. From the Arab Spring to resetting the relationship with Russia. No wonder she's the front runner for this dysfunctional nation. America's a dysfunctional nation, let's be clear. Remember the big thing in the 70s? That schmuck on that Schmendrick on Channel 9, PBS? The sicko who ran everyone had a dysfunctional family. That idiot, that con man, remember him? Turned out he was a sicko of the worst order. Everyone's running around, oh yeah, I come from a dysfunctional family. That became popular for a while. America right now is a dysfunctional country. For many reasons. You can point fingers in any direction you want. You know, but the fact of the matter is, for this country to think Hillary Clinton is electable is astonishing because she is. Why? Because there is a rampant disconnect between reality and the political structure. She orchestrated the Arab Spring. The Middle East is on fire. The woman wanted to reset relations with Russia. We almost had a new Cold War if we don't already. Benghazi alone would have sunk anyone else. They would have left the political world if they had any decency. They would have left. Nobody would stay in politics with that scandal around them. But because there's no media, because we're living in the equivalent of the Stalin era in Russia, where there's no criticism permitted against the Democrat in particular, and then you have a sold-out John Boehner and a Republican Party. So why wouldn't she be the front runner? There's no Republican. When you say Republican, who comes to mind? Who's going to run against her? Who can they dig up? I know there are people who are great, but let's be very clear. You need a machine to run for the presidency. You can't just be Mr. Smith goes to Washington and run as a populist and win. It's almost impossible. So who's out there? I don't even want to do it. It's too many years ahead. They're going to get slammed in the midterm elections. They're going to get slaughtered. Blood will flow in the next election. I can guarantee you, as I sit here, the people are not that stupid. They're going to take it out on Obama in the midterm elections. There's going to be a wholesale slaughter of Democrats across the American political landscape. A slaughter. I know it. The media won't tell you that. They'll lie to you right to the end. They'll bring out that slob, Candy Crowley, and the others. Oh, yeah, right. Ba-ba, ba-boo, ba-boo, ba-bee, ba-ba. And you know they're going to lie to you. And the polls will all be wrong. But at the end of the day, the only poll is you. And you will throw them out in there, you know what's. That's going to happen. But after that happens, it's coming up very fast, the midterm elections. Certainly, thank God. I mean, excuse me. I wish to God it was the presidential election coming up, but it isn't. The 2014 election is going to be very telling. And I believe the Democrats are going to be slaughtered at the polls. Slaughtered. If they can get real Tea Party candidates running against them, returning war veterans running against them, real truth seekers running against them, there'll be a sea change in Congress. But the Democrats will not learn a lesson from it. They can't, for numerous reasons. It's a machine. You just got to watch Boardwalk Empire to understand how corrupt the political system is right now. Nevertheless, here we are. So the terror group, Al-Shabaab, says one of the attackers at the Westgate Mall in Nairobi, Kenya, is from Kansas City. Homegrown terrorist missed by DHS, FBI, CIA, and NSA. How could a homegrown terrorist from Kansas City go to Kenya, conduct such a massacre, and not have been on the radar of FBI, CIA, DHS, Naval Intelligence? Yes, ma'am. I mean, yes, sir. Two other Americans from Minnesota among nine people listed on a space since shut a Twitter account. So there we go. Three Americans. A group amongst those that committed the murder in Kenya, missed by FBI, DHS, CIA, Naval Intelligence, and the NSA. They were spying on you instead. That's right. You're the enemy to them. You're a bigger enemy to them than the Islamists are. What do they care about what's going on there? Not one movie from Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Matzenberg about Islamo-terrorism. Not one. Not one movie. From Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg on Islamofascism. Not one movie. The only enemies are white supremacists and skinheads. And maybe they could revise a Ku Klux Klan movie and make that the latest threat now from the Ku Klux Klan. That'd be up to Hollywood standards. Just in time for the election. Yeah, they could show Republican banners behind the Ku Klux Klan. Maybe Weinstein could put that out just before the election. Then get
join
to the
Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. You know, there was a time when there's a political class called conservative Democrat. During the Vietnam era, the Vietnam War era, there was a Scoop Jackson. There was a conservative patriotic American. He was a Democrat. Can you name one conservative Democrat today? Can you name one? The answer is no. They're all a member of the Communist Party USA under the guise of the Democrat Party. I don't care what you call it. There's almost no difference between the CPUSA and the principles of Nancy Pelosi. Almost none. Centralized planning, centralized control, suppress the people. CPUSA, Democrat Party USA. No difference. If Trotsky were alive and wore a skirt, he would sound like her. There'd be no difference between what he would say and what she says. She doesn't even understand it. They don't even know what they're saying, the context. So you'd think there'd be a political party on the opposition saying, wait a minute, that's not American. You don't say that anyone who opposes you is a terrorist or an arsonist. Did you hear what Nancy Pelosi said about anyone who opposes her big spending mentality? You got to listen to clip 15 now, to the Bugs Bunny of the Democrat Party, 15.
So I think it's really important to note that there are lots of excuses that they use, but for many of them, I call them legislative arsonists. They're there to burn down what we should be building up in terms of investments in education and scientific research and all that it is that make our country great and competitive. Right. I don't paint them all with the same brush, and I certainly don't paint the speaker with that brush. No. But enough of them in their caucus to shut down government.
Can you believe that a person who was once Speaker of the House of the United States of Representatives would say a thing like this? Legislative arsonist, that's something she'd get from an idiot from the Mission District who was high on cocaine or something. Some moron who was high the night before would throw that in her face. Oh, that's brilliant. Yes, yes, yes. That's just brilliant, Mark. Where'd you get that last night? Were we at a restaurant in the Mission District? What do you mean legislative arsonist? What kind of idiocy is that? We live in a two-party system. One party wants to slow down spending. You don't call that legislative arson. You're the arsonist trying to burn the country down with a debt nobody can take care of. You want to talk about arson? You've been burning the Constitution. You're burning the entire institutions of America down. Building up. I love education. Investments. Don't you love it? Investments in education. What kind of investment is there in education? You're telling me that's an investment in education, paying for those kind of pensions? That's an investment? Scientific research. Scientific research and more fraudulent research on global warming, more of the other shibboleths of the left. Scientific research, it doesn't exist in America anymore. It's all political. And you're talking to a man who has a real doctorate from the University of California, who was in the science world, knows how the grant business works, and unless you submit a grant application that conforms to what the government wants to hear, you don't survive. Not only you don't get a grant, you're not in science. The age of Edison and Einstein are over. They've been over a long time. This is all government research. It supports a very strict and narrow government agenda. All of science today in America is agenda-driven. It doesn't mean the scientists per se are all bad people. They certainly aren't. Some of them are very idealistic, brilliant, wonderful people. But they cannot survive in the academic world of today unless they're following and pursuing and pushing a very narrow government agenda in science. It's just the way it works. So when I hear about investment in science, that's laughable and rubbish, pure rubbish. Can you name 10 scientific advancements that have occurred in the last 10 years in America? I can't. Name 10 major scientific advancements in American science in the last 10 years. Put aside Obama. I can't. I can't think of 10 advancements. There must be some. How come I don't know about them? I mean, read science. I don't see the advancements. All right, let's take some calls, okay? Andrew's been holding a long time about the Kenya shooters and the fact that they separate out Muslims and non-Muslims and killed the non-Muslims, including a woman 8 months pregnant. Not one word from Obama, not one word from Pelosi, not one word from Boehner, not one word from the media, not one word from Hollywood. We are living through Islamo-Nazism, Islamo-fascism, as I called it many years ago. Identical to the Nazis, identical to the Biedermannhoff gang, who ran the communist revolution in the 70s, only now they're doing it under the guise of a religion. When the hell are we going to say enough is enough with this religious garbage? Hiding behind a religion doesn't make it sacred. Andrew on WABC, you're on the Savage Nation.
they gave an oral quiz to the victims and to see if they were truly Muslims. If they passed the quiz, they were allowed to live. If they failed, they killed them. So we have two choices. We could all study the Quran and the religion of Islam and, you know, fake our way through the quiz, or we could have a sidearm and shoot the guy in the face. I say the latter. And then,
well, it's easy to say, but you're not in that situation disarmed when you have a bunch of throwbacks with AKs sitting in your face. The fact of the matter is we're at war. They've been at war with us for 1,000 years, and right now we're not winning. Would you say we're winning the war?
No, it's impossible.
How could you say we're winning the war against Islamofascism when CAIR has trained the FBI? How are we winning the war?
Right, they go after American citizens, and like you said, the Boston bombers and all the other...
How come the FBI, CIA, you name it, I don't even remember the alphabets, missed the Tsarnoff brothers? Because they weren't allowed to look at Muslims. They were only looking at returning white male American Christians wearing a cross, who might be, you know, God forbid, a patriot, you know, shooting a gun on a weekend. That's the target of... In other words, it's a nation at war with itself. America now has an autoimmune disease. An autoimmune disease. I said it before. Under Obama, America has sort of the epidemiological equivalent of AIDS, a political AIDS, where the defense cells have been taken over by enemy cells, which have penetrated the defense cells and replicated within the defense cells and turned the defense cells into attackers of the body itself. But you have to understand epidemiology to understand what I just said. It's not something you'd hear, let's say, from a nail gun guy, okay? You got to go beyond the nail gun in the golf club. It doesn't mean I'm a genius, but really it's pretty basic what I just told you. The political system today has been invaded by a foreign body that has disguised itself as a friend, gone into the defense agencies that were there to defend us, and have replicated inside these agencies to the extent that I don't know that the agencies even know that they've been penetrated. And I'm telling you that this is the fear I have. And if this is not stopped, if this AIDS, this political AIDS, is not stopped or checked with a very powerful vaccine, this nation cannot survive. It will be gone. We will have the equivalent of the Stasi in Eastern Europe or the Soviet secret police. If they're not here already, we'll have them in the blink of an eye. That's how bad this has become. You can say Obama did it. He didn't do it. It was already in the making. It's gotten far worse under Obama, with a wink and a nod. We understand that. Because Obama, for one thing, is probably a very brilliant man. People say, no, he isn't. Don't underestimate him. That's number one. And number two, he fears the America-loving man. He fears the America-loving man more than any other entity on the planet. He doesn't fear Islamofascism. He doesn't fear them. He fears the America-loving patriot more. That's my estimation of how bad this is. So, okay, now I'm going to get like almost like that movie last night. It's getting darker by the minute. Gets dark at night, you know. So let's go on to the next news story. We reviewed the movie Prisoners, which you didn't even call about. No one saw it. It's a pretty interesting movie. Who's Hugh Jackman? He was like an X-Man or something. They all have tattoos now. Like even the guy who plays the cop. You can't be a cop if you have a tattoo coming out of your neck. Jake Gyllenhaal, who is he? He was good in the movie. He played like the cop, a detective who gets to the bottom of the kidnapping of the girls in the movie Prisoners. But he has like a star tattoo coming over his neck. You can't be a cop with a tattoo on your neck. So, but what's with the tattoos? Everyone has to have tattoos to be tough? Where'd that come from? Toughest guy I know, guys I know, like skinny with no tattoos. I just mean you're weak if you have a tattoo, but what's with the tattoos all of a sudden that it makes you into something? Everyone needs a tattoo now in America. Putin doesn't seem to have any tattoos. How's that possible? He's a pretty tough guy. Shoots a gray whale with a crossbow, tranquilizes a tiger attacking a news crew, hunting shirtless, fishing shirtless, riding like hairy horses, shirtless. He doesn't have any tattoos on his neck. The secret American subculture of Putin worshippers. Michael Marin Kogan, National Journal, says, the secret American subculture of Putin worshippers. 2 years ago, blah, blah, blah. It's an interesting story. There's apparently an entire subculture filled with Americans who admire or actually kind of more than admire, look up to Putin. And I don't know whether it's so much that they love Putin or admire him, or they just think Obama is the opposite. And they so detest Obama and what he's done to the country that they literally go to the other side. It's amazing. What's driving it? I don't know. It's not an illness, certainly. There's no illness. I think what it is that the reason Putin is worshipped by so many American men, perhaps even women, of course, is because he's a pure nationalist, and America's dying for a nationalist. There is not one American nationalist on the political landscape. You take the most conservative members of Congress, and they are would be Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, I suppose, if you want to call him that. He's really a libertarian. They don't seem to be nationalists to me. I never heard them say borders, language, and culture. Have you? I mean, maybe they believe in it. Have they ever said borders, language, and culture? To me, that's the litmus test. Borders, language, culture. That's as simple as that. Who doesn't believe in that? Well, other than the transnationalists like Obama, Hillary, Soros, Brzezinski, Madeleine Albright, the whole pack of them. You can add the Republicans to that. It doesn't mean I want us to go back to, you know, wax candles and buggy whips. I understand what international trade is. I'm not a child. I understand what the New World Government is. It's trade between countries. I get it. But that doesn't mean we have to give up our sovereignty to trade with another nation. It doesn't mean we have to give up our constitution in order to trade with Kenya, does it? It doesn't mean I have to give up my freedoms in order to do business with China, does it? Well, I don't know. Ask Madam Albright what she thinks about that. I'm sure she would think it would be a far, far better place that we go than we have ever been if we had a communist dictatorship in America. At least that's how one man sees it. Sherry, WMAL, in the heart of darkness. Sherry, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, it's such a privilege to talk to you, and everyone says that. But you are the only sane voice in this insane world we are living in, and without you, I would have already lost my mind. The one thing that I cannot stand about Hillary, and the one thing I fear most about her, is that she loves power above everything else, and she's heartless. When this is
well, now let's slow down. All politicians love power. Most politicians are like machines. In that sense, she is no different than any of the other politicians. But I think what you're saying is, as a woman, you fear her. And I believe Hillary has a woman problem more than a man problem. That's my feeling. I think her biggest problem is with women. Women don't trust women to begin with. That's an old fact that's still true. Here's a new story out that's pretty frightening about the Kenyan massacre. It's called Al-Shabaab's American Allies by Peter Bergen from CNN. And apparently there's a lot of support here in America. In places as diverse as Seattle, St. Louis, San Diego, Minnesota, Maryland, Ohio, and Alabama. Of all Al-Qaeda's affiliated groups, the Somali terrorist organization Al-Shabaab has over the past several years had the deepest links to the United States. Did you hear that? You didn't know that. You wouldn't think that they're here, but they are. The largest group of American citizens and residents who have provided manpower money to Al-Shabaab reside in Minnesota. Now, I want to pause on that for a minute, because in Minnesota, there's a very large Somali community. We have a police chief in San Francisco, who's an excellent police chief, by the way. When he came to power, you know what he said 2 years ago? He said, my biggest fear is amongst some of the Somali residents because of their connections to terrorists. You know, he was almost fired before he started by the psychopathic left in San Francisco. The police chief saw it for what it was, said it like it was, and he almost lost his job. That's what I mean by political aides. That's what I mean by political aides. The story of Minnesotan support for Al-Shabaab began in late 07 when Cobb Dalullah Ahmed Fox, an American citizen of Somali descent, met at a Minnesota mosque and discussed traveling to Somalis to fight for Al-Shabaab. You mean they met in a mosque? Really? I'm shocked they didn't meet in a church or a synagogue or a Buddhist temple. A mosque could be a hotbed of terrorism? That's impossible. Farax told the group that he had experienced true brotherhood while fighting in Somalia, and that jihad would be fun, and that they would get to shoot guns, according to the U.S. Justice Department. Well, you can read the article for yourself. It's on CNN, by the way, not on Fox. And so now we find out exactly what we have been fearing the most. Over the weekend, we found out there was a massacre in Kenya, and there were Americans in this massacre. where there were 62 killed. A deadly connection to American supporters. And if you go to michaelsavage.com, you'll see the face of the woman, an English woman who converted to Islam after marrying a Muslim man in England. Nice, wholesome English girl, freckles and all. Why the White Widow is the prime suspect. London Daily Mail, a British woman, 29, may be behind the Mall massacre. And the police in Kenya said that she was calling the plays. Samantha Luthwaite grew up as a normal teenager in Buckinghamshire. Why the White Widow is prime suspect, may be behind the Mall massacre. And last night, as the bodies were still being counted at the shopping mall, one British woman was notably slow to join the condemnation. For Samantha Luthwaite, the daughter of a former British soldier who grew up attending school discos in Buckinghamshire, views these awful events as a cause for jubilation. Could you believe this? They call her the White Widow. They say she may be the brains behind the operation to bring terror to the heart of Kenya. A country once synonymous with the sexual hijinks of the Happy Valley expatriate set, but rapidly becoming a new battleground in the war between Islamists and the West. And let me pause right there. For years I have told you that the radical left and Islamists are kins. They have a great kinship. The radical left and the Islamists have a great kinship. The new Biden-Manhoff axis would be that with Islamists. And here's a woman who converted to Islam as a young woman, married to a man who went on to become a 7-7 London suicide bomber. And they said she'd been involved in training a group of all-female suicide attackers at camps in lawless neighboring Somalia. Go to my website, take a look at her as a young girl in England, wholesome English girl, wearing a silk rep tie, ruddy face, lipstick. Now she converted to Islam, and the rest is history.
Savage. Be right back.
It's an amazing news day. You've got Muslim terrorism across the globe. You've got American terrorists coming out of Minnesota, going to kill people, asking them if they're Muslim, if they're not, killing them, including a woman 8 months pregnant, carving her up with a baby in her womb, and no one says a word in the political establishment. And you wonder why people worship Putin in America? You wonder why they look up to that man when we have nothing to look up to in the American political class here? Now, look, I also did news views and reviews. I reviewed a movie called Prisoners, which I don't recommend for a number of reasons. Never bring a child to that. It's about two little girls who were kidnapped right in front of their parents' eyes, basically, on a Thanksgiving. And the father, and he'll do anything to find his little girl. It's shocking, horrible, disgusting nightmare. Isaac on WABC, did you see the movie Prisoners?
Yes, I did see the movie, and I wanted to get your perspective on the moral implications or the moral tension that Hugh Jackman, the position that he was in, where he took the law into his own hands, and ultimately he was mistaken. And I guess, hear from you what you feel you would have done in such a situation.
Well, I've never taken the law into my own hands because it never works. That's fiction, and it's from the Old West. The truth of the matter is, I doubt that any American in that situation would get that opportunity because, well, it's fiction, number one, where he track a guy down who they think took the girl and, you know, do things to him that he did and all. I thought it was interesting, but it was not plausible. Would a man do that if his daughter were missing and the days were ticking by and the police couldn't find her and he sensed she was alive and sensed he knew who took them? Probably. Has it happened? Yes. Does it happen often? No. But there have been cases of women shooting molesters in courtrooms in this country. Right in my lifetime, there was a woman shot a molester, molested her son, right in the courtroom. So it does happen. Is it morally justifiable? That's up to her and God, not up to me and my audience. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're just a dumb, stupid peasant slave that works for me, paying taxes.
No.
You're like the bees in a hive. You make the honey, and I steal it. And I put it in jars and use it any way I want. And you little bees, you keep making that honey.
Bees in the trap, bees in the trap.
You bees keep making that honey. You work for me, Barack Obama, so I can go on vacation and spit on you. I can go wherever I want and spit on you with my haughty demeanor. And I'll get away with it because there is no press and there is no Republican Party.
The Savage Nation. Weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, welcome to hour number three of The Savage Nation for Monday, September 23rd, 2013. Today, really, it's all about, well, Hillary Clinton. It seems that they're trying to anoint her without appointing her. What? Everywhere I turn, it's Hillary this, Hillary that. So today's show is dedicated to Hillary Clinton. It's entitled, Everything You Knew About Hillary, But Were Afraid to Remember. Other topics in The Savage Nation will include, well, wait a minute, didn't I just say everything you knew about Hillary Clinton, but were afraid to remember? Whitewater, Cattlegate, Travelgate, Jennifer Flowersgate, Filegate, Fostergate, Paula Jonesgate, Federal Building Campaign, Phonegate, Lincoln Bedroomgate, Lipogate, Chinagate. Shall we go on? Lewinskygate, Willygate, Hubblegate, Technology to the Chinese Gate, Wag the Dog Gate, Juanita Broderick Gate, Vandalgate, Lootergate, Pardongate. Is that enough? There's a little more. How about Benghazi Gate? So you can see why she's been selected to be president. She has a wonderful resume for the job following Obama's reign, which is just beginning. Also on The Savage Nation, we're talking about Putin admirers. That's right. There's a big audience in America admiring a Putin. Or is it that they dislike Obama so much? Are you a secret Putin admirer, and why? Does it trouble you that people admire the leader of a nation that is clearly not an ally of the United States? We're also reviewing the movie Prisoners with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. I wouldn't recommend it. Certainly not for children or those, let's say, weak of mind. Movement grows to repeal Obamacare exemption for Congress. Really? Ten Commandments monument toppled in D.C. Harry Reid calls the Tea Party fanatics and anarchists. I guess he doesn't like America. Does he really know what an anarchist is? Now let's go to michaelsavage.com, Borders, Language, and Culture. Why the White Widow is the prime suspect in the mall massacre in Kenya. Oh yeah, another convert. White girl from England met a Muslim. It's the religion of peace, but apparently she was the one directing the slaughter and murder of non-Muslims. Oh yeah, didn't make your paper, huh? Oh, the paper said there was a massacre in Kenya, and some of them dare say Islamist. It sneaks in the word Islamist. But what they don't tell you is, like the Nazis that they are, the Islamo-Nazis that they are, they released the Muslims and killed the non-Muslims, including a pregnant woman. They cut her to ribbons. Three of the Kenya mall gunmen are from America. Really? The land of the free and the home of the brave. I wonder how they can thrive in America. Meanwhile, illegal aliens are flooding into the United States because Obama threatens to grant them amnesty. Threatens? I mean, threatens us by granting them amnesty. You know, today's show is really dedicated to Hillary because I still use AOL Mail. I'm sorry to apologize. I still use what I started with 5,000 years ago in the Industrial Revolution when the Internet was invented by Al Gore. I signed up for AOL. I go on it in the morning and says, would you like to see Hillary as president? Click here. Already? They're doing this already? I'm dropping AOL. One more ad for that face. So I said, I can't take it anymore. So today's show is called Everything You Knew About Hillary But Were Afraid to Remember. Because how? Well, they reinvented her? She has no history? Nobody knows who she is and what we went through with the Clintons? How could the Democrats do this to us? And you know what went on in Kenya. Oh, you don't know what went on in Kenya. You know that there was a group of Islamo-fascists. Islamo-fascists took over the mall, killed 63 or more people. Wounded 150, God knows. And it was run by a white convert woman from England. Oh, yeah! A British woman, 29, may have been behind the mall massacre. Grew up in an English city, married a Muslim, and the rest is history. And, of course, as you well know, women are kind and gentle. They're not capable of this. But the people fighting the Islamist fascists, the Islamo-fascists, said a woman was directing the murders. And, hold on now, don't get too nervous. They singled out non-Muslims. If you were a Muslim, you were allowed to leave. Along the lines of Hitler and the Gestapo, the Nazis. So using religion to push Nazism is very clever, and they can't get away with it amongst people who are educated and intelligent. But since most of America is the obverse of that, they have no idea what's going on around them. That's all. Let's take some callers. I got such good sound for you on the program today. The sound, you see, I'm a big sound guy in radio. I mean, others use sound, but a lot of people don't because they don't like to interrupt their own voice. They're so egomaniacal, they don't think they need sound. They think they're so brilliant
that they don't want to even take a caller or run sound because they want to dominate the airwaves with their own voice. All right. I don't see it that way. I have dulcet tones when I need them, but I find radio is about sound, and if I find great sound, then I have the best sound people in the business, and they work hard. From early in the morning, we get the best sound. And today is, I say, dedicated to Hillary Clinton. Everything you knew about Hillary but were afraid to remember. Here's the question of the day. What do you fear most about a Hillary presidency? Let's make it basic. We'll do Radio 101, meat and potatoes. We're doing basically a rib roast and potatoes today. What do you fear most about a Hillary Clinton presidency? I didn't tell you what to fear, nor did I tell you you should fear. But what do you fear the most about Hillary Clinton? It couldn't be Cattlegate. I don't think you're afraid of her selling cattle futures. I don't think that's it. Now I'll take some calls on all the other topics. 855-472-82, KSFO, San Francisco. Jack, you're on the air. What's on your mind, Jack?
Thanks, Michael. Real quick, regarding your first question regarding Hillary Clinton, the thing I fear most about her would be her aims and her goals, her designs, which have been in effect for many years, towards moving us towards what I would call global governance. And if you look who she surrounded herself with and her husband's philanthropic foundations have surrounded themselves with, people such as Stroke Talbot, who heads up the Brookings Institute.
Yes, yes, a very dangerous man. So you know the whole history of these people. They're lifetime, and dedicated and never stopped. Never. Haven't we had enough of the Clintons? Wasn't 8 years enough? You notice that the most dangerous man on earth to millions of people is George Soros. And I can list in a litany everything he's done that makes him the most dangerous man on the planet. He was married this weekend at his private estate. Do you know which American politician was most prominently present? The Bugs Bunny of San Francisco.
Can we go to what?
Nancy Pelosi went to Soros' wedding. Now, what does that tell you about? Wait, the president of Albania was there, George Soros' wedding, and Nancy Pelosi.
Well, you just have to listen to Soros' words. Everything from Kissinger to Zbigniew Brzezinski carrying on the torch with Soros regarding...
Oh, Zbigniew Brzezinski, my favorite, the architect of the Arab Spring. Soros is the funder. Zbigniew Brzezinski is the architect, in my estimation. Obama is the spokesman for the Arab Spring, and Hillary Clinton is the enabler. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Imagine if she's president. I have to, like, emigrate to Iceland or live in, like, an ice house. There's nowhere to go. There's no one left. This is it. This is the last stand. This is the Alamo. America is now the Alamo. The left has crushed the opposition. There is no opposition. There's no Republican Party. As a Republican Party, you know, in theory, a Republican Party. There's no strong opposition. The media is gone. It's collapsed. There's no center. It's a far-left revolution that's taken over the West. And into the vacuum steps Islamofascism. They see the weakness. So what is it you fear most about a Hillary Clinton presidency? Is really a basically decent question. See, the problem is Republicans have no one running against her. Nobody. Z-E-R-O. I have an acquaintance who is an expert in optics, and he sent me an article over the weekend of a gentleman in India who has developed a camera that can shoot at 3 million frames a second, or something phenomenal like that. I could not believe what I was watching. So the Indian man is giving a lecture. It's on YouTube. We have it somewhere. I think that's on my website. He slowed light down sufficient that you can see photons entering an object as they move through a soda bottle. It's unheard of in terms of time-lapse photography. You've never seen anything like this. So this Indian man is lecturing about this, and I sent it to an individual I know who's a very successful young man, and he says, oh, my God, he said, it is so beautiful to see that there are still optimistic, intelligent, creative people left in the world. I thought that was one of the saddest emails I've ever gotten. because he feels, this young man who's been successful in America through very hard work, that this is dead in America. All the creativity, all of the opportunity that was once here is gone. It's been strangled by a mad left-wing mentality and a bureaucracy. I said, yes, it still exists, mainly in emerging third world countries like India, even in China, in countries that have a mixed capitalist society. The people are freer than they are here. The people are free to think, invent, create, patent, try, invest, not here. Not with the horrible Trotskyites and Leninists running our government. Everywhere you turn, there's another Leninist telling you, you can't do it. Think this, do this, pay that fee, you know. That's all. Unbelievable. So what do you fear most about a Hillary Clinton presidency is the question. Let's play clip one right now on the Savage Nation. That's the one I want to hear.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
See, she speaks for me. Yeah, I mean, think about it. I mean, that's a heck of a speech. You don't hear her saying that now. Her and Bugs Bunny are suddenly on the other side. Her and Bugs Bunny are saying, you can't disagree with the king. You can't disagree with Lenin in the White House. But then when Bush was in power, oh yeah. It was patriotic to disagree. Not anymore. I don't know. Could Hillary really win? Yeah, well, she could win with the schmuck Republicans. Of course she could win. Of course she could win. Why couldn't she win? Who are they going to run against her? I have a terrible fear. That's if we even have an election. I'm not so sure of that. If we even have an election. All right, let's get through the midterms first. I don't want to do this. I'll start to sound like the other Schmendricks in conservative talk already. Day and night, damn Republican, Republican, damn. I tried to do news reviews. I tell you, wait. So I don't go to the movies. I watch at home in the bed with the clicker. The only thing I see are my feet and my clicker and the TV screen. It's the clicker. The hand, the clicker, and the feet, and the TV screen. That's my idea of a perfect screen. It's like Rear Window, but I'm on my back. That's my idea of watching a movie. I enjoy it, that's all. That's how I rest my mind watching the worst garbage Hollywood's ever produced. But I mix it in with war and this, and I watch like a lot. I love military history the most. My second favorite show is Channel 271 on Comcast, which is Nacho's being on gangsters. But how many times can I see Anastasia getting shot in a barber chair? How many times can I see the guy from Philadelphia throwing him in the pit like in Wise Guys? You know, it's enough already. 83,000 on the boat in Florida. But I enjoy it. I like the outfits, the suits, the wide white shirts over the jacket. I don't just like something about it. It's like a texture about America. I most like the 1950s black and white when they do gangsters and they show like Anastasia, like see men walking the streets of Manhattan. They wore a hat. Everyone had a suit on. There was a thing called the haberdasher before. Have you seen like how men dress today? Could you believe this? Can you believe a man walks down the street, what they wear, a human being, in a city today, compared to like the 50s, suit, tie, hat? And you would know by your hat, by the chapeau you wore. Like if you're a longshoreman, you wore a certain kind of longshoreman's cap. Men all had a certain hat made, like a certain hat, like Dobbs Hat Company. My father had a hat. He was a small merchant, but he had a hat, like hat boxes in his closet. Unbelievable. Now you see a guy with like dirty shorts walking down the street with flip-flops. That's a man today. I don't know how this happened. But anyway, there we are. It's like I woke up. It's like Rip Van Savage wakes up, and the world is crazy. It's not like I wear a suit myself, but I don't understand it. How could a society survive with hats? Start with the costuming. No costuming. That's the costume. No costuming. So I like to see like New York in the 50s, like the DeSoto taxis with the bad Kodachrome color, where all the color is distorted, and you see the Astor Place. And Anastasia about to go into the barber chair in 1957 in the St. Regency Hotel, the Regis Hotel, and get knocked off in the chair. He didn't know what was coming. They put a towel on his head. What gangster sits in a barber chair with a towel over his eyes? He had no bodyguards. He couldn't afford them. What, was he cheap? I don't understand that. What gangster goes to a barber altogether today? The barber comes to their house today. No one goes anywhere. In fact, if you look at what's happening societally, it's becoming like, not ancient, so I'm not that. We're going back a couple of years where the rich have the hairdresser barber in the house. They usually have a hairdressing salon in their house today, so they don't have to go out to begin with. Who wants to be in a hairdressing? I can't stand haircuts. I'd rather look like Charles Manson than get a haircut. I hate it. Manicure, I'd like one, but I wouldn't subject myself. Those women, like, and at night they're hookers and daytime with the nails into my finger and giving me a disease of the foot. Put your foot in like a foot bath, and before it was a person with mad cow disease, put their foot in like a hoof. like a hoof went into the nail thing. Who would put your foot in that? All right, I'll take your calls. That's all. Dwight on WABC in New York City. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Dwight?
Wow, it's a pleasure, Dr. Savage. I'm in Staten Island, New York. I would never, never vote for Hillary Clinton.
But I hear that you're a Democrat, but you wouldn't vote for her. Tell me why.
Well, for one thing, America has no time for the Clinton orgy part two. We don't have time for that.
The thing is, Dwight, you're a lifetime Democrat, are you?
Yeah, well, that's how I was raised, but, you know, I'm an American, for real. And
be careful, Dwight. The NSA is listening in on the show, and Americans are now suspect, as you well know. Islamofascists are welcome, and illegal aliens from Mexico are welcome by the plane load, boat load, car load, train load. An American, watch out, Dwight. That's a dirty word today.
Yeah, well, I'm a black American, so, you know.
Whoa, you're really out of favor.
I know.
Oh, you're really out of favor. I imagine you must have wonderful dinners with your family, being a guy like you are, like not diehard leftist.
Well, I'm totally away from my family. You know, I'm in New York. I'm in Staten Island. I'm from the Midwest. Yeah.
Well, no, I understand. You mean you ran away from your family?
Yeah.
So you ran away from your black Democrat liberal family in the Midwest to New York, and I ran away from my family in New York 40 years ago. But, ran away. I mean, the thing is, they've never changed. They don't even know what's going on around them. You know, my grandfather landed in America as an immigrant from Russia, and he was a Democrat because that made sense in the 1917 or whenever, right? And they never changed. The children never went beyond the immigrant parents' or grandparents' mentality. They're like robots. They don't even know what's going on around them.
It's not even a fact about running away from my family. It's about I love America, and there's so many things I want to see about America.
So do I. God bless America. I love the country. It's been, for me, a land of wonderful opportunity. I've had hard times, good times, bad times, my times, your times, but I've been given the opportunity to do as much as I could. No one said you can't. Until affirmative action came along, until the left took over all the institutions, until this institutional social engineering took over, this was the freest country on earth. And I thank you very much for send Dwight a copy of A Time for War, will you? He'll enjoy that novel.
Savage.
This is an effective president. And not only that, he has the power of being a largely nonpartisan president. If the Democrats have any complaint about the president, it's that he's not complaining about the do-nothing Republican president, do-nothing Republican Congress. You know that. That's one of the major complaints. But that's not who he is. He's more, that's not what he brought to the White House.
A lunatic. A lunatic only in America. A woman who channels a granddaughter on whether to bomb Syria is now calling Obama a nonpartisan president, apolitical. A lunatic. Lunacy, pure lunacy. In a normal, sane society, every newspaper would be running a headline, a banner in my day. Loony Pelosi says Obama apolitical. Loony ex-speaker, is she nuts? I grew up in the glorious age of newspapers. Daily news, banner headlines at night. Trucks racing around Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island. Trucks throwing batches of newspapers off the back of their truck. And as a kid, no matter what age you were, you'd peek at the headlines. They kept you going. It was exciting. They were Victorian in their impact on people. Banner headlines were written by men who had the guts to write headlines criticizing politicians. Loony ex-speaker says, most partisan president in history, nonpartisan. Loony Speaker Pelosi channels granddaughter whether to bomb Syria. Lying president says raising debt ceiling does not increase our debt. Raising debt ceiling does not increase our debt. That's the nonpartisan president, Obama. I swear to God, this is doublespeak right out of Orwell. Obama says raising the debt ceiling does not increase our debt, though it has over 100 times. How does he get away with it? Simple. The people are drugged and there is no press anymore. There's no there anymore. In a speech at the Business Roundtable headquarters in Washington, D.C., Obama dismissed concerns about raising the debt ceiling by noting that it had been done so many times in the past. He says, raising the debt ceiling, which has been done over 100 times, does not increase our debt. What? People would say the guy's nuts. How could he get away with it? Why? There's no press. That's all. There's no there. I think he needs another vacation. Personally, I think the president's worked so hard. I mean, look, since he's back from Martha's Vineyard, look what's happened.
You got Syria. Then you had the Navy Yard shooting. I mean, he's long overdue for another vacation. I think he and the wife and kids ought to go away again. Another little trip somewhere. They need maybe Hawaii now. It's nice there this time of year. September, October, always the nicest months in Hawaii. I don't know what he's doing in Washington. I have no idea. I mean, he needs to refresh. He needs to reset. He needs to reset his thinking. How come they can make a movie about people who abduct children the way they do with such intensity and show you the evil on the planet and not make one movie about the Islamofascists plaguing the world? Not one movie from, what's his name? I don't even know. Hackowitz? Snyderberg, Weinberg, Harberg, Harvey Weinberg, Steinberg, Migraine and Steinberg. They make movies, not one movie about the Islamofascists, not one. Yeah, why the White Widow is the prime suspect. It was unbelievable. Could you imagine that the Nazis did? Remember when the Biedermannhof gang in Germany in the late 70s took over various and sundry enterprises? They singled out the Jews to keep them as hostage and release the non-Jews. This is similar. The Islamo-Nazis released the Muslims and killed the others, including a woman 7 months pregnant. How's that for the religion of pieces? Not one word from Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Spielberg. Not one movie from Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg. Float around on your yachts. Go ahead. Float around on your yacht. Go ahead. You get your 300-foot yacht. Go float around in the Mediterranean. You're polluting the world with your filth. The sewer pipe of Hollywood has polluted the planet. You have all the power in the world to warn the world what's coming, and you don't do it. And the blood of innocence is on your hands. The blood of innocence is on the hands of Hollywood. I blame Hollywood. I don't blame our spineless politicians, because I expect that from our politicians. I'll give you an example why I'm so incensed about Hollywood not picking up the torch to warn the world about the Islamo-fascist movement, which has grown, by the way, not diminished. Not one word about it from Hillary Clinton. But she's qualified, of course. Not one word about it from the Bugs Bunny of the Democrat Party. Ba-bop, ba-boop, ba-beep, ba-bop, 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 ba-bop.
Nee-nee, do you want to bomb Syria? Ba-beep, ba-bop, ba-boop, ba-bop, ba-boop, ba-bop.
Big Bugs Bunny.
Nee-nee, should we bomb Syria? Ba-bop, ba-boop.
Not one word from Ninny. Not one word from the Ninny in San Francisco about the Islamo-fascist movement. It's about the evil Republicans.
Nee-nee, should we bomb Syria? I say no bomb Syria. I normally no bomb Syria. But there were children there, so we say bomb Syria. No, nee-nee, no bomb Syria. I say bomb Syria.
Okay, child abuse, bingo. So the next case is this. So you got Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg. I'm watching a movie over the weekend on television. 1952, black and white, film noir, they call it. There was no color then. Film noir. Everything they give a name. A black and white movie, in other words. Film with a good camera. With a person who knew how to light a set. And what's it about? It's about the FBI tracking down German agents in the New York City in America in the 40s. So, wow, that's an amazing movie. Now that the Islamo-fascists are all over the country, all the way up into Naval Intelligence, CIA, FBI, as sure as I'm standing here, who are they tracking down? Republicans, conservatives, patriots, returning war veterans, people who don't believe in abortion, those who worship Jesus. That's who they're listening in on. That's the NSA spies. They're not listening in on the Islamo-fascists plotting a bomb, are they? Well, if they are, how did they miss the Boston Massacre? How did they miss the Navy Yard? Because they weren't listening to them. They weren't listening in on the Nazis, the Islamo-fascists, or else they would have caught the brother's son off. And they would have stopped the Navy Yard massacre. No, but they were busy listening in on you. So these are some of the ideas that are circulating in my cranium at this particular moment on the Savage Nation. It's a Blue Monday. Let's have some of the wonderful, wonderful music from the Belle Epoque. The best of Offenbach, Can-Can, circa 1858, in the golden age of France. Pre-Viagra, pre-Levitra, pre-Cialis. How come the men didn't need Cialis in France in the 1850s? How is it possible? Listen. That doesn't move you, then you're dead. Hipsters. Hipsters eating burritos in the Mission. That's America today.
feminist men eating burritos in the Mission District. All right, turn it off. That's all. I got your attention. Offenbach. When I'm like, I need music in the morning. I once had a Japanese friend who invited me to the Japan Creativity Society back in 1986, 87. I went over there, won some award, whatever. And he started every day, Yukio, lovely man, weighed about 99 pounds. He looked like he was on the Bataan Death March in reverse. He ate nothing. He was a great guy, a scientist, brilliant man. Ate nothing. Couldn't take him to dinner. He ate nothing. And this guy told me he started every morning listening to German marching music. Not for the, you know, implied relationship to, you know, anything political. He liked the spirit of it. You understand that? It's why many of you listen to the Savage Nation. Because I'm not sitting here like a Trotskyite professor in Queens in 1957, lecturing you on the Constitution, or on parliamentary procedure, or Robert's Rules of Order, looking like I'm wearing a Robert Hall suit with a tuna fish stain in it. You can see the tuna stain on the brown suits, or the wall banger. But I'm not going to, what's the point? You know, you don't get it. Some of you do, very, very small in crowd. Teddy is not here right now. Teddy is not here. He's with the groomer. He goes Monday and Friday to the groomer. And I do the show without his master's voice loyally watching me as I perform in my studios. My studios. Nothing like a cold shower before radio. Let me give you one of my secrets. You start with a hot shower and you warm it up. You go colder until you can't stand the cold on your head. And then you won't sound like Hannity. By the time that shower is over, you'll actually sound like a broadcaster. I have a keen sense of the absurd, which makes me very popular. You see, there's not much of a sense of the absurd in conservative talk radio. They're very stuck-in-the-mud, you know, guys. They're not bad guys, but they're the kind of stuck-in-the-mud guys that don't, you know, breed the kind of audience I have, or let's say attract. I'll give you an example. An article comes out, top Congress moneymakers. So naturally, it's to show you the Republicans are the richest, right? Darrell Issa is worth $355 million. Number two is Michael McCall of Texas, worth $114 million, and so on. So you go down the list, and you see number nine is Senator Dianne Feinstein. She's only number nine at $41 million. But they don't say what Richard Blum is worth, the husband. I mean, what do they think, was stupid? $41 million is a piker's amount of money compared to what that family is worth. Or you go down the list to others on the list who have been playing the nepotism game. You know, you put the old lady into Congress, and then you rake in the money on the other side. So naturally, they skew it, and they say, ooh, it's all Republicans who are rich. Nah, not the Democrats. Yeah, right. As if there's something wrong with being rich. It's how you make it, my friend, not how much you have. It's whether you stole it or not, or you created body armor that didn't work in Iraq. You know, that kind of thing. So it's real simple, or shopping carts to the moon. So, yeah, all right, rich again. 50 richest members of Congress, the wealth keeps growing. How many of them paid taxes, though? How many of them paid full 39.7 or whatever, 39.5, as opposed to dividend income, how many transferred it to their husbands or wives, whatever. It's all a game. And it goes on and on. You know why? Because we don't have an Elliot Ness. You see, remember the show in, years ago called The Untouchables, when the FBI was created with Elliot Ness? Elliot Ness was, he went after the untouchables like Frank Nitti and Al Capone. Who is the Elliot Ness of our America today? There are none. You're telling me the head of the FBI? Well, we're going to come back from the lanes now, the girls and I. We're going to look into that. We'll look into that subway to nowhere. Yeah, nowhere, and the construction jobs, the train to nowhere. Yeah, you'll look into it. Malarkey, you'll look into it. There is no Elliot Ness in the FBI. There is no Elliot Ness in the NSA. There is no Elliot Ness anywhere because Obama is a dictator who made certain that any Elliot Ness who could have been there was decapitated by being thrown out of the services. And the same is going on in every branch of the U.S. Armed Services. Every potential hero has been thrown out of the military or forced out of the military. Anyone who would have stood up to the coming dictatorship in this country. And I will repeat again. Remember I warned you what Bush would do in the last 3 months of his administration? Those of you who listened to me for all these years, I said it was in August, September. I said he's not through yet. Do you remember what Bush did in the last 3 months, or his handlers? Remember how they crashed the economy? They did it. They crashed the economy by letting Wall Street go haywire. Okay, and then Obama became president. Well, Obama doesn't have just 3 months left. He has 3 months left of year number one of term number two. Let me remind you, Obama has 3 years and 3 months left. And if you think that what Bush did in 3 months was catastrophic, you are right. But you haven't seen anything yet as to what Obama is liable to do and likely to do in 3 years and 3 months, especially when there is no press to rein him in and no opposition party to speak out against it. It's very worrisome indeed. And this is not simply rhetoric, nor am I trying to be comedic in the political arena at this point. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
I came up with the idea at least 20 years ago that we needed more women in politics. It would take a different turn. And I suggested that men be barred from political office. They could do everything else, be president of universities, business leaders. And they just couldn't serve in any elected position for 100 years.
Oh, shut up.
We have a lot
of... Turn it off. You hear the morons? Ted Turner at the climate conference. You got a million new acres of sea ice in the Arctic, and this putz is still running a global warming institute. And there they are, the acolytes. No men in politics for 100 years. That would be great. That would be terrific. That's just what the world needs, is women. Because you're a woman, you're automatically better. How about the white widow who just conducted the Islamo-Nazi massacre in Kenya, you schmuck? You can't talk to these people. They're brainwashed drug addicts, in my opinion. Did you hear what Nancy Pelosi, the Bugs Bunny of American politics, said? I mean, Nancy Pelosi, who unto herself is the Bugs Bunny of American politics, was glowing about Hillary Clinton simply because she's a woman. I couldn't believe this. Listen to clip 12.
If she does, she will win. And when she becomes president, she'll be one of the best equipped, best prepared people to enter the White House in a very long time. She is, by dint of her experience as a senator, as a secretary of state, as a first lady herself.
Crazy people, just crazy people. Never in my life have we seen a woman who has done more damage to a country. The two of them together? Okay, they wanted to bomb Syria? Why? 71% of the people opposed it, 75% of the military opposed it. Hillary was gung-ho war, so was Bubba. Bubba there. Nini. And why were they going to war? Because of the scandals, number one, the pipeline, number two. War would be the perfect cover story to mask the most horrible record in modern presidential history. A cover-up, in other words. And it almost happened. They were willing to bomb a nation, a sovereign nation, for no reason whatsoever, in order to get the headlines off the papers. Shall I name them for you? The massive IRS scandal, ordered by Obama, aimed at Tea Partiers and GOP donors and Obama critics, all by Obama. How about the use of our spy agencies to attack, intimidate, and interfere with ordinary Americans? How's that? All of these were going to be wiped away by a war. That's all. We know that. They were going to use war. It's been used before. And they almost got away with it. They almost got away with it. Hillary Clinton, why was she not forced to resign in disgrace for the worst cover-up in modern presidential history, which was Benghazi? The Benghazi scandal could have changed the entire world's history, because the election of 2012 hinged on it, and that putz, whatever his name was, who ran for the presidency here, Mr. Nice Guy from Utah, wouldn't even mention it. Again, he was told not to mention it, so he dummied up and said nothing. What is it? You know, I don't sit and glorify these guys just because they're nice guys with a good family. The guy could have won the election hands down. Well, anyway, let's not embroider anymore. I've said all I can say already. There's nothing more to say. Let me read you something that I got. Someone put an ad up for me for an executive producer I'm looking for. God, I don't want you to all apply, please. You absolutely need 5 years of experience in radio. I'm getting people who love me, and they're just sending resumes in. I can't hire you if you don't have 5 years in radio, okay? It's fun. But this guy wrote me an email. I'm not going to read his name. You have to hear this letter. Yes, you have to. You don't have a choice. You cannot turn the radio off, or I will call the IRS on you. So the guy says, my name is blank. Thank you for taking time to review my resume. While I'm quite sure that my official resume pales in comparison with many that you'll receive for the position of executive radio producer, I assure you my passion and skills will more than make up the difference. Immediately, I can't hire them because I need someone with a skill set. So he goes on and on, and I normally can't read all of it. But listen to his story. It's worth your time, I promise you. I would like to give you just a little bit of background about who I am as a person, he writes. Well, anyone with the ability to read can learn just about anything. Nothing can replace what goes into the making of who a person actually is at his or her core, he writes. My mother was very liberal and always supported Democrats. My father was a Polish Jew who emigrated to the U.S. in 1958 and who also always supported Democrats because, quote, they were for the working man. My dad had lots of issues because of the horrors he and his family were forced to deal with as they escaped Poland during the war. In 1973, when I was blank years old, my parents divorced. My mother soon remarried to a black man who became my stepfather. That was one of the best things she ever did for herself and for her children. To this day, he has been a huge and positive impact in my life. The experiences that have come from having a Jewish dad and a black stepfather have allowed me to have both such unique insights in life. Now listen to this. I have come full circle in my pursuit of the truth. Through much of my 20s and early 30s, I was very liberal. He writes, now it's not me. In fact, he says, I was probably more of an anarchist than anything. I had been fed all of the bad stories about America. Carefully removed were the stories about what made us good and unique. Not perfect, but certainly not the evil nation that had been portrayed. But it was to be my time as the producer of a liberal talk show that would do more than any other experience in my life to reveal the hypocrisy and lies of the left. He says, as the producer, I was able to witness firsthand the phony liberals, the do-as-I-say-not-as-I-do mentality of the many personalities of the left. And he goes on. It was during this period, he writes, that I was shown the truth, and it is for that which I am most grateful. My life was turned around. I don't have page two, but you get the picture of the wonderful people out there who listen to my show and how passionate they are about this country and how they want to do anything to help. It's amazing to me.
Savage.